In 4 years' time, this man suffered the loss of two wives, and his business went bankrupt.
You gotta say, this guy's gotta be the most unlucky person in the world.
Was it bad luck, or, as one forensic scientist asked, was it too coincidental? In 1994, 36-year-old Tim Boskowski and his three children moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to begin a new life. Just a few months earlier in North Carolina, Tim suffered the dual loss of his business and the accidental death of his wife, Elaine.
There's things you learn in life that only your mom could teach you. I'll never have a chance to find those things out.
The memories will never go away, but you kind of like had to put a, like a, you know, backseat to that and kind of like move on.
Tim started a small company to make crowns and bridges for local dentists. And just 7 months after the death of his wife, he met 32-year-old Mary Ann Fullerton.
She met him at a dance. She came home all excited saying, she met the most wonderful man at the Catholic Singles Club that night, and all her friends figured, you know, they hadn't seen her that excited in a while, and it just might be the person.
Mary Ann soon fell in love with Tim and his kids, Randy, Sandy, and Todd. When the couple married, Mary Ann included Tim's children in the ceremony.
She vowed to love them and cherish them and take care of them as long as she could. She hugged Randy. She kissed Sandy, she kissed Todd, and she was very emotional when she said this prayer in church.
Looking from the outside in, you wouldn't have known that she wasn't, you know, a real mother per se.
There's Sandy and Todd. Todd, what do you have? Explain what you're gonna do.
But just 18 months after the wedding, tragedy struck Tim Boskowski yet again. Shortly after midnight, on November 7, 1994, Tim found his wife unconscious in the family hot tub.
Is the patient conscious right now?
No.
Is she breathing?
I don't think so.
They're trying to get her out of the water. Okay. Get her out of the water.
Mary Ann was rushed to the trauma center of Allegheny General Hospital, but it was too late. She was pronounced dead.
That's probably the worst feeling in the world.
Tim told police that he and Mary Ann went into the hot tub together around 11 o'clock. They ignored or were unaware of safety warnings that they should spend no longer than 10 or 15 minutes in the hot water. And doctors warned against drinking alcohol in a hot tub. Tim and Mary Ann stayed in for over an hour, and Tim admitted the two had been drinking.
He was really pushing the fact that she was drinking heavily, 13 to 15 beers. Well, that's a lot of beer.
Later, Tim left to take a shower, and he said Mary Ann stayed behind. When Tim returned 20 minutes later, he found Mary Ann's lifeless body in the water.
She was immersed in a hot tub, the spa that had a temperature of approximately 104 degrees. The outside air in early November was in the 30s. She probably attempted to get out of the tub and had an episode of lightheadedness because of the blood rushing out to the cooled extremities, and had a fainting spell, fell into the tub, and drowned.
Mary Ann's blood alcohol level was 0.22, over twice the legal limit of intoxication.
It's never pleasant nor easy to bash the deceased. They're not here to defend themselves, but the long and short of it in this case was that Mary Ann Boskowski did have a history of drinking. She had, I believe, two DUIs. We had an episode where we had witnesses that were in the choir with her at church were concerned about her drinking.
Once again, Tim Boskowski was a widower.
You gotta say, this guy's gotta be the most unlucky person in the world. To lose both wives in a 4-year period, how unlucky can you be?
On the night Marianne Boskowski died, police investigating the case were not sure whether it was a freak accident or something else. On the hot tub lay two wet beach towels. On the bottom of the tub lay the temperature gauge, which had broken loose from its housing, and a pair of women's eyeglasses. On the deck, officers also saw a wet pack of cigarettes, an ashtray, two cups, and a small box that held the breathing device Tim used to administer CPR on Marianne until paramedics arrived. The device typically is used on strangers to prevent disease.
That was suspicious. A person in his right mind would want to use this device on his own wife and take the time to leave her alone in that tub, to run down in the basement to find this thing, to bring it up.
Something else bothered police. A scratch on Tim Boskowski's neck. Detectives asked Tim to remove his shirt. They saw multiple scratches on both sides of his waist, his shoulder, and left thumb, and his left chin was bruised.
These superficial scratches on his back did not bleed, okay? They were not surrounded by bruising or black and blue or hematoma contusions on his body. They were just little scratches.
Didn't necessarily take a trained police officer to figure out that there was really something wrong here.
Marianne's family was suspicious. They had heard rumors that Tim's first wife died under similar circumstances.
I asked Marianne, I said, I had heard that she had drowned in a bathtub. And Marianne said, oh, Aunt Ruth, she choked on something. And I said, what in the world was she eating in the bathtub that she would choke on? And she said, I don't know. She said, Tim doesn't like to talk about it. He gets too upset.
Police in Greensboro, North Carolina, confirmed that Tim's first wife, Elaine, died in a bathtub accident. 4 years earlier, Tim said Elaine was intoxicated when she came home from a church social function. Elaine went to take a bath. Tim said he went to bed. At the time, the couple's daughter, Sandy, was 6 years old. Both she and her father said they heard a loud noise in the bathroom.
I remember hearing a thud, and I remember getting up and being the one who woke my dad up.
Tim said the bathroom door was locked, which he forced open with a screwdriver. Inside, he found his wife on her back in the bathtub, unconscious, submerged in the water. Tim said he pulled her out of the tub and placed her over the shower door tracks to try to revive her.
He laid her across the tub, thinking that he could get the water out of her because he felt like she had swallowed water and that was keeping her from breathing.
Paramedics rushed Elaine to the Wesley Long Community Hospital, where she was pronounced dead.
I was in admiration of Elaine. I admired her strength. I admired her freeness to laugh. She had such beautiful qualities.
At the scene, police found vomit in the bathtub from Tim's resuscitation efforts, but no water in the tub or nearby.
How do you get her out and not be wet? How do you get her out and not be water everywhere? Like, what happened to the water? That was the thing that kept freaking me out.
Even the shower door tracks were completely dry. Brenda Vance was a rookie police officer in 1990 and the same size as Tim's first wife, Elaine. Disturbed by the lack of water in the Boskowski bathroom, Vance conducted an experiment in her own home bathtub. The officer wanted to see how much water it took to submerge her head.
We start filling the tub up. When there's enough water in the tub that it started getting up right here on my face, My head's floating up. An unconscious person is just gonna float right up. So that didn't make any sense to me. Second thing was, before I could get enough water in there, the overflow valve is taking the water out. So I could never submerge myself in my tub. You know, we proved it. His story just didn't hold water. No water there. It did not happen that way.
Elaine Boskowski's autopsy revealed no water in the airways. Forensic pathologists say water is not always present in the lungs of drowning victims. Three parallel lines mark the lower chest and upper abdomen, consistent with the shower door tracks on the Boskowski's bathtub.
The explanations that he offered for the marks on the body couldn't be refuted by the autopsy findings. When he said, I put her over the edge of the tub to try to resuscitate her or an attempt to save her life, well, we have a mark that's consistent with putting a body over the edge of a tub.
The toxicology report showed Elaine's blood alcohol level was zero. She was not inebriated as Tim claimed. Despite the inconsistency, the coroner ruled the cause of death undetermined.
Well, you call it undetermined because I don't really believe a story, but I can't say that it didn't happen that way, but I'm suspicious, but you know, there's just not quite enough there.
I understand why she made the call that she did to begin with. I think, to answer your question directly, I think she did the best she could under the circumstances. I also believe that that she probably felt very badly personally when the second woman died.
But if Tim Boskowski got away with murder the first time, would he be lucky enough to get away with it again with wife number two? Tim Boskowski had been married two times. Both wives died under suspicious circumstances. The first in a bathtub, the second in a hot tub. Friends and relatives say the two wives strongly resembled each other.
And they actually wore their hairstyle the same. It was ironic because they both wore glasses that were Coke bottle thick. And that was another similarity. Both of them were very much involved in the Catholic Church.
The investigation into the death of Tim's first wife was inconclusive. Investigators were hoping for more in the autopsy of Tim's second wife.
It is impossible to know exactly what happened, but we can piece together some things in an intelligent and logical fashion.
The medical examiner found 53 bruises externally and internally on the upper arms, the back, and the upper neck.
We find some bruising and hemorrhaging on the lips and at the base of the gums, at the inside bottom portion of the lips. Then we find these bruises on the arms that are strongly suggestive of fingernail impressions. We do have several areas of focal hemorrhage in the neck, in those small muscles we call strap muscles because they resemble small, elongated, rectangular straps. And we find small hemorrhages in the surrounding soft tissues.
Pressure to the side of the neck halts the blood flow in the carotid artery to the brain, and pressure to the vagus nerve alongside the carotid slows the heart muscle and respiration.
Bradycardia, as we call it, that slowing of the heart can set the stage in some instances uncontrollably, unpredictably, quite erratically, of a cardiac arrhythmia, an abnormal beating of the heart. In other words, the heart just stops beating, the lungs then stop functioning, and in a matter of 4 to 6 minutes, you're dead.
Dr. Weck says Mary Ann Boskowski did not drown.
I think that Mr. Boskowski strangled her. I think he applied pressure to her neck. I think that he held her arms. He may well have held her underwater, although we don't have any definitive evidence of prolonged immersion in water. I think that it was a staged drowning. I think that the death is due to strangulation.
Mary Ann's blood alcohol level, 0.22, was proof she was intoxicated. Dr. Weck says being intoxicated made it difficult for Marianne to fight off her attacker. The official ruling? Asphyxiation due to compression of the neck.
As the medical evidence incontrovertibly in our minds indicated, he strangled her to death in plain English.
It's not that easy to get away with something the second or third time that you try to do it.
If Tim murdered both of his wives as alleged, what was the motive? When prosecutors interviewed Marianne Boskowski's family and friends, they learned that Tim and Marianne had recently been on a cruise, and all was not happy.
Marianne said, if things don't get better, by the time I get back, I can always leave, and I'm taking the children with me.
There was evidence Tim's first wife, Elaine, was planning to divorce him as well.
As a grown woman in her 30s, a mother, she was discovering rock and roll from the 60s and 70s. She was really pursuing a wholeness as an individual. I don't think he killed the woman that he married. I think he killed the woman he was afraid of.
Tim's first wife had no life insurance to speak of, but Tim purchased a $100,000 life insurance policy on his second wife.
If and when the time came that he ever had to kill her, he would do it, and this time he'd have a lot more money than he got the first time.
Even after these two suspicious deaths, the children steadfastly defended their father.
They say that he's innocent. I hope they're in counseling.
Tim Boskowski was arrested and charged with first-degree murder in the deaths of his first wife, Elaine, and his second wife, Marianne. Boskowski insisted he was innocent.
The evidence does not support that charge.
Prosecutors in Greensboro believe Tim followed Elaine into the bathroom that night in 1990. A later interview with one of the children revealed there was an argument. Before Elaine got into the shower, Tim forced her over the edge of the tub and held her there for 4 or 5 minutes, preventing her from breathing. At some point in the struggle, Elaine vomited before she died. The lack of water in and around the bathtub and the bruises on Elaine's body told a tale of violence. In Tim's second marriage to Marianne, there were problems once more.
He killed the first one. Why not kill the second one? He got away with the first one. He figured he can get away with this one.
I don't understand.
Pittsburgh prosecutors believe Tim and Marianne argued in the hot tub, possibly about her drinking or her interest in having children of her own. The evidence suggests Tim quickly overpowered Marianne, possibly covering her head with the beach towels to muffle her screams. Marianne fought for her life, splashing water onto the deck and scratching Tim's back. Tim knew from the first murder that strangulation victims sometimes vomit. This may be why he used the CPR mouthpiece in Marianne's case as protection while performing CPR when paramedics arrived.
All a charade and all just a play, the acting. He was a terrible actor, by the way.
Tim's defense lawyer says that his client had no motive to kill his wife.
Tim's business up here was successful. They had a new house. Things were going well for them. The only bone of contention that anybody could point to at the time was that they had some arguments over the kids. And if that's a reason to charge a man with murder, then we're all in trouble.
In the Greensboro case and the Pittsburgh case, Tim's defense claimed that both of his wives had underlying heart conditions that caused accidental death.
If you believe in fairy godmothers and things like that, and you're prepared to believe that something with 100 billion to one odds that can happen, then maybe you could argue that.
In Greensboro, North Carolina, the jury found Tim Boskowski guilty in the first-degree murder of Elaine, wife number one. He was sentenced to life in prison. In the murder trial of Mary Ann, wife number two, it was the same verdict, guilty. But that jury sentenced Boskowski to death.
I think his sentence should be tie bricks around him, chain them to him, and throw him in the Allegheny River and let him see what it's like to drown. But you're not going to use that.
I was always against the death penalty. Having lived through this situation, I've changed my views.
Tim Boskowski continues to maintain his innocence. His children say their father didn't receive fair trials because jurors in both cases heard about both deaths.
Well, without forensics, of course, this case would have been missed. And if a case like this happens in a jurisdiction in which there is no competent forensic pathologist, it could well be missed. You know, the marks on the neck, very, very subtle, very minimal.
She left a message for all of us with the trauma about her body that proved that this wasn't an accidental drowning.
He basically told the same story twice with two wives, you know? And in both cases, neither story held water, you know? So he was basically just all wet.